How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. James Scully is standing by. It is Twin Spires weekend preview at the races. And James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Always get so excited this time of year. Love these Breeders' Cup preview weekends. We had some good stakes last weekend and get really after it at Aqueduct, Santa Anita, and even Churchill Downs has a couple stakes of interest. So, you know, one thing I want to point out real quick, last weekend we saw that Echo Zulu come back in that Dogwood at Churchill.
Yeah.
Really like that performance because she's going to go, to me, to the Philly and Mare Sprint next. And, you know, we'll see a little bit more about the complexion of that field as it comes, we get closer. But she's going to add speed. She's going to add pace. She's an exciting element to that. And we got another colt, another three-year-old in sort of a similar spot tomorrow in the Santa Anita Sprint with Forbidden Kingdom. He's a colt to me. He was good last year as a two-year-old, but he took a big step forward in when returning this year at age three in that San Vicente. You can go watch that performance at 7 furlongs and see how fast he ran and how easy he did it on the front end. And, you know, you can understand why they had to go after the Santa Anita Derby and the Kentucky Derby after that San Felipe. But he's a pure sprinter. He's a pure sprinter with speed, and he'll add something to the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So I'll be rooting for him and to win his comeback like Echo Zulu did last weekend.
Excellent. And we certainly got to, you know, pay careful attention. There's going to be horses that come out of a lot of these preps that, you know, the big part of being prepared for Breeders' Cup is to watch these replays, look for trouble trips, especially, obviously, the turf races. So there's plenty to be learned and gleaned as we inch closer, and counting on your eyes and Nick's and everybody else that we talk to as we get through these next couple of weekends. James, in terms of the opportunities, where do you want to go first?
I'll start at Churchill Downs. I'll hit two quick main thoughts and then do the stake races. In race number four, we have a maiden special weight for two-year-olds, $120,000 open maiden special weight at a mile. And there's some definitely some contenders in here. Prairie Dunes coming off a runner-up finish, the Champion's Dream, and others in here with definitely some, you know, that worth a look. But to me, that the horses in here with experience, none of them have shown like true speed except for number 7 Magnificent Mile. He's a colt that came out on August 21st. Rudolph Brissett doesn't win at a high rate first time out, and he ran a really good race that day on the front end at Ellis, dueled on, you know, some fast fractions, ran second by 8 1/4 lengths. He's an $800,000 quality road colt that's a half brother to a grade one place juvenile, Brill. And so, you know, he's bred to run early, bred to improve second time out. I like him wire to wire with Tyler Gaffione. He's listed at 5-1 on the morning line, number 7, Magnificent Mile.
Magnificent Mile for Brissett. And I got the wrong color pen. The way I keep track of you and Shap is with different color markers so that I can, I put everybody, yeah. I put your initials, you know, JS, SS, etc.
All right. And then we got another maiden special weight for 2-year-olds, mile 16th, race number 7. That race has another really intriguing field, could have some nice horses come out of it. I'm going with number 7, Curlin's in Charge. This is a curling colt for Dale Roman, who first time out, I thought that race at Kentucky Downs, I thought that was going to be a decent field. I think that Muskie, that debut winner, that filly for Wesley Ward, is going to be a good turf horse. I think Spanish Dublin's going to come back and run real well at Keelan for Mark Cassie. And I like Curlin's in Charge to make the smooth transformation to the main track. He trained Wardley at Churchill Downs before that debut effort, has come back, has a sharp half-mile move. I think he'll get some pace in there. I think he'll be rolling in the lane with Joe Talamo, 10-1 on the morning line. And Dale Romans, you know, Dale Romans, 8% this year from more than 200 starts. But from his last 92 second-time-out horses, second career race starts, he's 15% with a positive ROI. So, you know, his horses can run better second time out. He already has a win this meet, which is a good sign. Considering how his barn's been a little cold. So Curlin's in Charge, race 7.
Well, me, you, and Marty McGee are all piled on the Curlin's in Charge.
I missed that earlier. Turn it into the ACAC, the winner you're in for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. You know, to me, the thing with Speaker's Corner is if he was in the same form he was in this spring and into the summer, he looked like he'd be, you know, impossible to be, you know, catch on the front end, wire to wire. I don't know if he's that sharp. I know they went fast in the Pat O'Brien, but the way he gave way at the top of the stretch, I didn't like to see that. I don't know. I got some questions breaking from the rail. I like a horse from that race. Señor Buscador, in his lone start at a mile last year, won the Remington, or back in, I guess it was the winter year before. He won that Remington Springboard Mile in impressively, went to the Risen Star, ran fifth, the Mandaloon and others, and, you know, disappeared for a whole year after that. Came back, outclassed foes at Lone Star, didn't run well in the San Diego, never got out of the gate, never run a step. That Pat O'Brien is a better effort than it looks like on paper, Steve. He broke glass, but he was instantly, quickly within range of the field on the outside. When they turn for home, he is like closer to the grandstand rail than he is the inside rail. And not only that, but he got bumped hard and floated out by American Theorem, who gained ground on him when bumping him. He was catching that horse at the wire. He was that was a really good finish that day, really sneaky performance, 102% speed rating, 105 late pace rating. That horse is moving forward for Todd Fincher. The 1 mile distance will hit him right between the eyes. He's got a shot to from off the pace to run well at long or odds. Señor Buscador at 12-1 on the morning line in the ACAC.
Well, that will I guess I set Todd Fincher up for a potential return on Monday when we had him on to talk about Señor Buscador's brother, Sheriff Brown, who was victimized by the HISA crop complaint this week. So
In the turning to the Lucas Classic, $500,000 Lucas Classic, got four Grade One winners in there, including the Derby winner. The thing with me with Hot Rod Charlie is I looked at his race last fall in the Pennsylvania Derby when he just beat, I mean, easily beat Midnight Bourbon, was hustling hard that day. He just cruised to the lead and crushed him wire to wire. I thought he was going to be all speed moving forward. He hasn't been that at all. I don't think he's going to have the speed to be on the front end, because that's going to be all Art Collector. He's going to be lone speed, in my opinion, for post two with Lee Saez. He's going to get out there on the front end. He's sharp right now. They could have gone for the Woodward. Instead, they're going for the better spot for him. And I like him wire to wire in the Lucas Classic.
Makes sense. All right.
Looking at Aqueduct, you know, that weather, you know, it'd be interesting to see with the weather, because just looking at the last, after the last three straight stakes, I really like Be Your Best. I mean, no surprise. I think I thought she was awesome in that PG Johnson and could handle off turf and in that Belmont turf sprint. I think, you know, Dancing Buck, you know, I like his form. I know he handles good turf. I know he's run well. He's won on a sloppy track, runs well at Aqueduct. I would go with him in that Belmont. I give him a slight edge, I guess, in that Belmont turf sprint, number 10, Dancing Buck. But in the Champagne, definitely very keen on verifying. I think that horse is going to continue to progress off that debut win for Brad Cox. I think he has a huge upside. And if the track comes up muddy, you know, these just five offspring are winning at a 50% clip in the slop. So no worries about track surface. And, you know, once again, I'm picking the favorite in there, but I do like verifying.
I'm unconvinced, but I mean, I'm certainly respectful, but that horse of Makers gets Irad and coming off that Ellis effort. I thought Top Recruit 5-1. I like that.
Well,
number.
I think Blazing Sevens. I didn't understand that trip in the Hopeful, and maybe it was a sloppy track, but I still thought that was a good debut win for Blazing Sevens. I thought that third was okay, considering he was so far back, you know, early in the race. Obviously, I'd be a little concerned if the track was wet again, but he's a horse to me that could run better a little bit in there. So if I was looking at, you know, a backup for horizontals, I might take a look at Blazing Sevens if the track isn't too sloppy. Just that weather, I don't have a feel at all for the weather in New York tomorrow. So I do, though, today it looks like it's going to be fast there. My last – well, before I get to that, I want to give you a football play, because I'm 1-for-1 with you with Minnesota over Green Bay in the opener. And listen, one thing about this year, the top contenders in the AFC, Buffalo and Kansas City, and the top contenders in the NFC, Green Bay and Philadelphia, they're all going to lose at least three games this season, especially Buffalo and Kansas City. They just are playing a murderer's row schedule. Buffalo is too banged up on defense. They're going to miss Micah Hyde's tackling against Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, undefeated, getting points at home as an underdog. And their defense is coming off a good showing. So, you know, Buffalo had trouble blocking Miami last week in the second half. But I just look at this game. It's going to... It 100% does not impact their chances to be the one seed or the best team in the AFC at the end of the year. But they're going to go into Baltimore. They're laying 3 points. I am all over the Ravens on Sunday, Steve.
Interesting. Very nice. I love it.
And then one and a last second Friday play today at Aqueduct in race number seven, race number eight. Number 7, 235. Second off the claim for Steve Claseris. 6 for his last 33 with that move. I liked his last at Aqueduct and no second in April. I thought he ran against two good fields last time at Saratoga. He's going to relish the class relief today. 6-1 on the morning line. Number 7, 235 in today's 8th race at Aqueduct.
Wow, that could be a big help to everybody that is considering this carryover. I think, what, $45,000 pick 6 carryover figure, probably four times maybe. Yeah, you know, I figure 200,000 or so, maybe a little bit more into that pot. So that could be a nice help.
Yes, yeah, and it definitely one to... definitely one I've taken a look at a little bit of today's card. I'll be playing Aqueduct today. So let's have a great weekend, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
James, I appreciate it. And also, James, adding to the NFL action from Dave Hill yesterday. And I don't, we didn't talk to the Raven game. So there's a good push on Baltimore for Sunday. Now, and of course, you know, Dave, along with other people that you know, that played Miami last night, obviously an L for everybody, but that really became a secondary consideration, frankly, when it was, you know, the situation. Although first thing I checked when I woke up this morning, that was the first thing I thought of, and I immediately, went to see what the news was, and he flew home. They released him from University of Cincinnati Medical Center, which is a trauma unit. So that was scary. Got to make a decision here, and I think we're going to go to Nick. So we'll go Nick, Nate, Hammer, and Popo. There we go. All right. That's what we'll, I think. Let me just confirm that I'm sure. I just texted him. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now let me see if he's clear because he's doing stuff with Pete as well. Speaking of Pete, that Lewis Boldly ran well after a bad start yesterday, almost won that maiden race. Ended up with a couple of nice prices. By the way, speaking of that, that was Seth. People love that the situation with Seth with his football high school pictures. That was really fun. Seth got knocked out early in his pick four play. However, if you stuck with it, I had it here. He had his four horses in the nightcap was like an $1,100 try. I'm going to forget the numbers now, and I had the charts here somewhere, but there's way too many PPs. So if you boxed up and utilized those horses as sets in the nightcap, quite a nice pop. So let me get to let's get Nick in here. He's ready for us. That's what I kind of figured he would be. So that actually is good. That'll buy us a couple of minutes on the front end for later. Nate Newby's going to join us, and Hammer and Popo and Nick Tamaro. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
We're great. We're great. Yeah, I'm disheartened by this weather news because it's gorgeous here. Yesterday was glorious, and I've got to run after the. I can't do the pick six today because I'm running to Bennington for a haircut. We got a wedding we're going to tomorrow, but I'll have plenty of the analysis. I've handicapped everything for Saturday, but I'm bothered by this weather news for how it's going to impact the card tomorrow in New York.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a big problem. I guess the remnants of Hurricane Ian are going to get up there Saturday as opposed to originally it looked like Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad weekend for this to be happening with all the preps for the Breeders' Cup and obviously wanting to see the Woodward on a dry track. So it's going to take a little wheeling and dealing from Naira to get this all handled and see if it could all shake out properly because it's going to be tough.
Now you got me thinking, and I may have to go look at some Breeders' Cup charts, but we had a Breeders' Cup lead-up in the last couple of years where there were a ton of preps on wet tracks. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there was a year where almost all the turf races at Belmont were run on wet courses. And, I know Uncle Mo won the Kelso on a wet track, but that was a while ago. That was 2011.
No, more recently. More recently, we had a rotten fall stretch, and a bunch of Breeders' Cups. All you got to do is look at the Breeders' Cup charts, and well, you'd have to look a little further, but I'll poke around. I'm curious to see how that round, you know, what it impacted, and you know, what kind of follow up, you know, because obviously there's going to be horses. They're going to do everything they can to keep races on the turf, and there's going to be horses that are going to run on, you know, less than firm ground, and some may move up, some may move down. It's, you know, that's part of what you deal with.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably see a situation tomorrow where there's basically one race, one stake race on each course, and nothing more than that.
Yes.
And it's going to affect the cards in a pretty significant way too, because you've got a couple of other turf races that really don't have any protection should they come off the turf. They're for 2-year-olds, so that might help. But yeah, I mean, we'll probably see the Miss Grillo go on the inner, and the Aqueduct Turf Sprint go on the outer. And that will probably be it for the whole card, I would imagine.
Before we dive in, how about any quick push on anything, any help for people in the carryover sequence today?
Yeah, good sequence. You know, I would say that horses that are highlights, maybe, you know, in the last race, I think if you're getting bankroll thin by then, Market Segmentation is a horse, even though she's off a layoff, that I think you can rely on to a pretty great extent. Her debut was really terrific, and the field came back very productive. I think her stablemate, Salima, one door to the inside, might be a little bit dangerous, having gotten a wide trip last time out. The John Hettinger, which is the stake, goes as the seventh. And I picked Marvelous Maud. This is a pretty big class drop coming out of the Flower Bowl, but I also do think that Runaway Rumor is dangerous, looking like she's now getting back into form. It's been a while since she's really run some of her better races. The Minefield in the sequence is the eighth. It's a very tough claimer at a mile and an eighth on the main track, and you really have about five or six horses that look like they're fast enough to win. I ended up siding with Winter Pool off the layoff. I love Dave Duggan, and I think this could be a really good claim. This is a horse who was set up three wide the whole way around their last time out. Figures look like they're going the right direction, and he's got some back class that makes him really, really tough. I do think American Tattoo is dangerous in there as well, switching jockeys to a more aggressive rider. And Jose Ortiz off, when you're dealing with a speed horse, is a phenomenal angle, especially a horse like this who was ridden very passively early last time out. I think in the sixth, if you're going to use Moon Age Date, if you're going to use Fancy Pants Juliana, you need to use Moon Age Daydream as well, because Moon Age Daydream was training with Georgie Spirit prior to her debut, and actually since her debut, and Georgie Spirit's going to be one of the choices in the Miss Grillo. My daughter's chiming in with some support for the pick six sequence here, so you can imagine the excitement in the Tamaro house currently. And the fifth race is another really tough optional claimer on the dirt, where you should have a pretty decent amount of speed. That ultimately led me to Happy Farm, who I think is capable of raiding on the outside. Mike Maselli, good numbers first off the claim on the dirt. So, fun sequence. I think there's a couple of races where you can get narrow enough to maybe make a bid at it, and I think it'll, you know, ultimately it'll get hit. It doesn't look like it's that difficult, but always fun to spice up the card.
Well, especially for those that are intimidated and aren't going to be eager to bet on Saturday if we've got a sloppy situation. And a couple of quick notes here before we talk about Saturday. There's a lot of fun happening at Aqueduct. If you come out to the building on Sunday, there's at Long Shots, all kinds of stuff, including the football. There's game day flat fee, $25 game day food and drink, and package, and all kinds of nice things if you come out to the track. If you haven't gone through the portal into the casino, into Resorts World, Long Shots is fabulous, the simulcast center. And there's also, of course, the weekend contest, too, $300, the handicapping contest every Saturday at Aqueduct. She wants to play. You're teaching her how to play.
She's in, especially after the last few weeks, for sure. We need the money.
Let's talk about Saturday, you know, dealing with what we have to deal with. But, you know, certainly that turf sprint, assuming everything, you know, I hope it goes and works. You know, we know life is good, but Champagne and the Miss Grillo and the Belmont turf sprint.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, starting with the Woodward, the expectation is that life is good is going to win this race, and will probably make him the second choice in the Breeders' Cup Classic based on what we've seen from everybody who's run already. You know, the only, you think about what are the scenarios in which he could get beaten. The only one I think you could really come up with is if somehow Thomas Shelby pushes him a little bit too much early. He's quite a bit faster than Thomas Shelby. But, you know, that's a scenario where he could get softened up a little bit. If you still believe that he might be a little bit vulnerable beyond a mile, I'm not completely convinced the distance he wants to go beyond a mile. I think he wants to go around a mile, but I'm hoping he runs well enough tomorrow to get him into the Breeders' Cup Classic, because it just makes for a far more interesting scenario. And a horse like this, winning a second dirt mile really is meaningless. You need to try the tougher objective. My approach from a wagering perspective is a one-punch exacto over Informative. And I think Informative is actually very sneaky coming in here. He's been in good form. His Monmouth Cup was better than it looked on paper. And then he came right back in the Islin, interestingly, Lasix off, and ended up winning the Islin at 14-1. I think he's really dangerous for underneath. And you almost kind of feel like if there's going to be an upset here, it's going to be Uriah, right? That's the only guy that could find a way to slay the dragon. But I mean, unlikely as it is, I think a nice 1-5 exacta would be just fine for me. The Miss Grillo, you know, it's a shame it's going to be run on a boggy turf course, because it really is an interesting matchup between Free Look and Be Your Best. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Be Your Best, who I think is really nice, but she felt like one of those horses that, given the way she ran in her second start, she had a really good trip, and the fact that Idea Generation really didn't show up made it a much, much easier objective. And I wish she had just taken a little bit of a step forward. You know, she just kind of ran the same speed figure, which is good. No, don't get me wrong, getting a buyer figure in the mid-70s for an early season two-year-old turf route is a good number. But you see a horse like Free Look, who she beat first time out, when Free Look maybe took the worst of it trip-wise, and the way she took a step forward second time out, and you think to yourself, okay, the gap between these two probably really isn't that wide. And the problem with each of that Free Look has in this case, especially on a potentially boggy turf course, is that she wants to come from a little bit deeper in the pack. So it could get difficult to quicken enough to really make noise late here. It's really between those two. You know, you always want to be careful about a speed horse on a wet turf course. So I'm interested in whether I'm Just Kidding might be put on the lead by Joelle Rosario. She was supposed to improve on the turf. She did. But this would be a big step forward for her if she's going to try and win it. I think in the multis, you just use the 2 and 6 and probably back up with the 4 and 5. The Belmont Turf Sprint was clearly the most interesting race on the card. Hopefully it stays together for the most part, even with the iffy forecast. I thought Arzak ran a very good race in the turf sprint last time out at Kentucky Downs. Given the way the turf course was playing that day, you wanted to be on the inside, and he was pretty much 3+ wide the entire way, which obviously worked against him. So I was intrigued about him coming back in a situation like this. I'll admit, Thin White Duke and Dancing Buck are both horses who can win, and Dancing Buck keeps showing up. I keep overlooking him every single time he runs, and he fires every time. He also has the right running style for this race, Steve, because he's going to be close. And I think you want to probably be a little bit more forward on what could be a really rain-softened turf course. He can quicken enough to maybe get a little bit of separation off the turn. So I've not made a final decision on my pick, but I think I'll give him a pretty long look. And then that takes you to the Champagne, where, you know, obviously we don't have Forte in here, who would have been one of, if not the favorite, but it doesn't mean that it's not a respectable field in its own right. Andiamo a Firenze is probably the speed of the speed on paper, but it just looks like some of these horses only have one way to go. In the Champion's Dream had an awful lot of speed in his debut, and when Danny Gargan was interviewed afterwards, he talked about how this horse really showed in his training from the beginning that he's very, very fast. I don't know what to do with Gulfport, because he had an excuse in the Saratoga Special, really didn't last time out other than getting out a little bit around the turn in what, you know, was kind of a surprising chain of events. So I think that all signs kind of point to Blazing Sevens getting a really good trip here, but I wonder if he didn't handle the slop that last time out.
Right.
And he wasn't as good as he was in his debut, and now he's going to get a sloppy track again. So it makes for a really difficult wagering proposition, because Verifying is the morning line favorite, and the runner-up from his debut came back and ran somewhat poorly at Churchill on opening day, so it does make you call into question the strength of that race. The buyer figure is also too high. It was not an 85. That was a figure that was aided greatly by a glacial early pace, and this is just going to be a totally different scenario for verifying, so I'd want to be careful with him.
I did not get the 9-to-5 at all, and I'm surprised there's not more conversation about top recruit, because that stretch out from 5-plus to 7 at Ellis, I think bodes very well for this spot, and lures Irad.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, obviously, V. Curly Jackson came back and won the Europe,
yep.
So no shame in that whatsoever. And, you know, one of the trainers that I never have any pause when looking at a Mike Maker or stretching out, because you know these horses are going to have a ton of stamina trained into them. So this is a horse that Irad, of course, ends up here because Forte didn't go. And if you can get him at 5 or 6 to 1, he clearly becomes the horse you want to bet, because we know that Irad is going to stick him in behind horses, take him back a little bit, let them battle on the front end, and then try and grab him late.
That's the champagne. Have you looked at the nightcap, that state bred allowance?
I have. You know, the situation, of course, with the conditions is what kind of throws you off a little bit, but at least this is a dirt race. I didn't have anybody in here that I was really, really dying to bet. It looked like a particularly tough race on paper. I know Con Hurry Love finally broke her maiden last time out, but she really did it with an ideal set of circumstances. I think the horse that I'll probably land on is Captain's Daughter, because I feel like Captain's Daughter is a horse who's run some races that are a little bit, they're easy to overlook. And Trevor was very aggressive with her last time out. She also probably wants to go a little bit shorter when push comes to shove. Might be more of a placing type, but she's a horse who's going to offer some value and can come running late.
Well, it's funny. We just talked about Top Recruit, who's a midshipman, and so is Captain's Daughter. And nothing wrong with the midshipman on a wet track as well. But yeah, I agree with this is a tricky read. This nightcap and. You know, with enough horses in the turf sprint and this, and then the 2 6-horse fields in the stake, it feels like an approachable, even under the conditions, feels like an approachable sequence. Anywhere else, Nick? Anything else that caught your attention when you were perusing the overnights and PPs? Anywhere?
No. I'm intrigued by some of the races at Santa Anita. It'll be fun to see Forbidden Kingdom come back off the layoff, and that is not the race that was once known as the Ancient Title. That is certainly not your father's Ancient Title, but he's an interesting horse, right? Because he's super fast, and if he can run back to some of those races from earlier in the year, he could be a very interesting Breeders' Cup sprint prospect. Because I think in a way the sprint feels like one of the races that's going to have a big favorite that might be the most vulnerable, because a little bit of the luster is off of Jackie's Warrior, I think. And I think we've all kind of seen that he is vulnerable in a fast-paced race. We've seen it twice now in the last year. So if Forbidden Kingdom ends up running well and coming out of there in one piece, it'll be great to have him in the sprint.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, NTAM 1215, and Nick's full analysis at In the Money. And Nick, good luck this weekend. We come back with a whole bunch more next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Talk soon.
Nick Tamaro. Nick, everybody, and good timing. And we are staying on the beam. Let's reach for Nate Newby, and looking forward to talking to Nate and setting up. We talked with Brad earlier, and did the analysis. But with Nate, we want to catch up and get into how the season, with everything coming back to Santa Anita, the two weekends will send plenty of major contenders, to say the least, to the Breeders' Cup. Catching Nate. Nate, hold on. Here we go. I wasn't at first. I thought it was a machine. It had sort of machine quality. Good morning, Nate Newby.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, good, Nate, and eager to catch up to the action coming back to Santa Anita, and of course the summer at Del Mar with a little intermezzo at Los Al, and you know, talk to Brad Free of doing some handicapping. Wanted to talk to you to set up everything else going on at the Great Race Place.
Nice. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to a great weekend. It's always exciting. The Autumn Meet, it starts off with a bang with, I think, 16 stakes races in the first two weekends and five win and you're in. So it's it'll be a fun 6 weeks, but it starts off quickly, that's for sure.
Well, and today, of course, 1 o'clock post time to kick things off, 12:30 tomorrow and 1 o'clock on Sunday. Let's slip in activities and betting challenge and the kind of things that'll bring people out to the track, or put them on Express Bet and playing in the contest.
Absolutely, yeah. Now we've got basically events and promotions going on every day, so it should be a fun meet. But the big contest this weekend's a $4,000 buy-in 2-day event, so that kicks off on Saturday. With day two on Sunday, and that's a 3,000 live bankroll, 1,000 entry fee, and a great contest. Saturday's card, three of the stakes came up really solid, and then Sunday's a good card. So I think people will be firing away. We've got BCBC seats up for grabs. We've got NHC seats and cash prizes. So 100% of the entry fees get paid out, and then we add to it.
Well, and I did notice, which is a nice little addition, $5,000 on-track bonus for everybody that comes out, and whether you hang out in the Eddie Logan or wherever you want to set up shop to play, there's no place better to play the contest.
Yeah, no, we added the $5,000 bonus, great thing about the pandemic is everybody was able to play at home, but we're trying to encourage some people to come back to the track, and everybody kind of got used to playing those contests at home, which is great. But we also love that on-track handle, and it's really a driver, so the $5,000 is a good motivator, and takes care of our loyal on-track guys too.
Well, and you're giving away polo shirts for those that come to play and bet $100 on the races at Santa Anita. There's all kinds of family fun too in the all over the place. Just a great atmosphere, and nice to have the action back at Arcadia. In terms of the racing on the track as well. You got to be pleased. I thought the way the first two cards, in terms of the state cards, came up. Brad and I spent a half hour basically this morning having to go through this. Good size fields. The turf cooperated, and we don't have to worry about. I don't think we have to worry about any weather issue.
No, weather, it's been hot actually the last week, and then it's cooling down just today and supposed to be low to mid 80s this weekend. So weather should be perfect. The turf course is in great shape. And we're looking for, I think it's always a good sign when it takes you a little time to work through the stake races. So I thought the Awesome Again is going to be a really competitive race tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And then we got two down the hill stakes that both filled really well in the Eddie D and the Unzippy. So should be a good weekend, that's for sure.
You know, you mentioned the Eddie D, and I think that, the Eddie D we talked about with Brad, we did not talk about the Unzip Me. That kind of slipped through the cracks. You up for a little Nate Newby opinion?
Well, I looked at it quickly. It's been kind of a crazy week, and my quick analysis was I had no clue who was going to win, so that's a good sign.
just glancing, and I'm glad I've got the John's morning line on here. Connie Swingle is 3-1, and for D'Amato, everywhere you look, there's D'Amato, and
he's on fire lately.
It's unbelievable. Hammer, who's going to join us next, Hammer taught me years ago. For years, I was intimidated by the downhill course, and Hammer taught me how to approach it, and it became one of my absolute favorite spots. And Jeff Mullins brings back Countess Rosina in here for Red Baron's Barn, Rancho Temescal, and this Dandy Man filly out of the San Clemente. turns back, and she's been down the hill. She was second to Connie Swingle going back to the spring, and we love the turn back. And frankly, she's working up a storm. Countess Rosina, the four, in the Unzip Me for me, 12-1, Nate. That's me.
Yeah, that's a nice price, and that's the great thing about the downhills. You can always find some value, and yeah, Hammer has some good advice on the turn back can be a good move on the downhill course.
Now, the mile, you know, you're looking for milers because, you know, even though it grades out at 6.5 furlongs, it's really longer than that because of the way the two turns essentially that the unusual circumstance. So the horses that are actually coming and typically run 7 and beyond, they're very effective coming down the hill. And one of my favorite things, I mean, Unzip Me, a good example, but Misdirection, you know, can be a course. There's families. It's funny. There's in California, there's families that are downhill specialists. They, you know, they love it. We talked about how awkward it is for some horses. It's not for everybody, and the footing, you know, because they're coming downhill, and because they're asked to do a couple of different things, make those two different turns, and then cross over the dirt course. So you've got to be agile, and you know, some horses try it and love it. It's a challenge, or you know, they like coming down the hill. Others will get tentative, and so that's one of the reasons that, you know, while those races were on hiatus, the horse playing community couldn't wait to get back up on the hill.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so great to be back on the hill, and it's good advice. You know, a horse with a little experience down the hill, it's definitely can make you feel a little more comfortable. You're not rolling the dice on whether they'll like it or not. So it seems like the ones that show an affinity for it, they always seem to run well on it.
It's Free Friday. Is opening day a Free Friday?
Yeah, we kept Free Fridays every Friday during the meet, including opening day with drink specials. So really just trying to do everything we can to get the crowds back on track. And, you know, free parking, free admission, and drink specials. It's not many places in L.A. Can you go for and not pay to park, not pay to get in, and pay reasonable prices for your drinks.
Well, and then you can win everything back in 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
That's the best part. Nate, terrific to connect, and we'll stay in touch. And looking forward to the winter. Be out there after I come out to that way. Maybe we'll do some things leading into, I can't be around for Christmas for opening day, but, you know, about 10 days before, we'll be out there after symposium. So maybe do a little meet opening greet from Clocker's Corner mid-December.
Perfect. That sounds great. Thanks, Steve.
Nate Newby, everybody, and the action at Santa Anita starting today. And the stakes action, obviously, that we went over with Brad, just dynamite. Going to get Hammer in here. Got somehow we pulled it off. I'm very Casey's just sitting in the studio, right, Case? This is all right. All you had to do was push. You just have to push a couple of buttons for the break at 10:30. Otherwise, it's been it's been on cruise control. Hammer's going to join us, and got about 20 with Hammer, and 10 plus 15 with Popo. And we'll do some form to win action. So we can coast home here. I'm loving it. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I'm good. Really good.
I was surprised to see your name, not Casey's.
Well,
that threw me off.
Well, let me tell you, we dodged a bullet this morning because Comcast down in South Florida and all throughout Florida, obviously, with the aftermath of the storm, they were out of whack when Case got when he punched up the studio. And he sends me a text about 8 o'clock. He said, you know, I'm on the phone waiting for them, and right now we got no internet. And then said no phone. So I said, well, I don't mind the calls. It's easy now. It sounds great. But we got to be able to connect to Sirius and me to Casey. So Knock on wood, at about, I don't know, 8:35, we got the he got the green light that they were up, and so.
No good.
So that's why I'm calling you.
Well, good. It's good to hear from you. It was just threw me off. I said, "What's he doing? He's supposed to be on the radio."
I am on the radio. Exactly. I'm on the radio. Exactly.
I was
right.
Supposed to be talking to Nate there. You mentioned the hurricane. Thoughts got to go out to the people down there as you know. You watch this stuff. Helpless because you want to do something and you don't know what to do. At least, you know, send in a few bucks, of course, and you know, hope for the best. Just devastating. But I'm glad that you know the other side got basically unscathed, and this thing's still heading up to New York, right up the coast.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was going to be that. You know, that close, and the timing was going to be this, this direct into the weekend. So, yeah, looks like it.
Yeah, so, like I said, it's kind of, it's just as you see the pictures, as we've all seen them before, it's a steal for the people. Wish you could do more, but, send donations and send thoughts and prayers. That's all we can do at this point. And, you know, they'll band together and get through it.
Well, there are a couple of people that I have not. I checked with Gus. You know, Gus lives in Fort Myers, and I checked with Gus on the evening of it, and he said it's bad, but he said we're all okay. And I've got Tina and I were kind of sending stuff back and forth while she was at school because our trip to Sanibel this April, and that was my first time through there. I had never been to Fort Myers and hadn't been to Sanibel. She had, and that's why she wanted to bring me and let me see it. And I actually, you know, have a point of reference for what it all looks like and the causeway there and the damage. And I there are some people that we have to check with, that we came, got to know and were introduced to at on Sanibel. And Brett Calhoun's got a place on Sanibel. Should check with Brett and see. I'm sure he checked with his neighbors and stuff. It's some very, very tough scenes to absorb.
Well, it makes it much more so when you've been there, whether you know somebody or not.
Yeah.
And it's one of the four places that Tina and I spent a night in Punta Gorda, and we did go over that bridge. And it was some time ago. Gina goes, "Oh, I remember that bridge." So you kind of remember a little bit, but not. Had just checked with another friend, actually Ken Kirshner. I would talked with him or texted with him this morning. You know, he's over there. He said his house is fine. He's good. And I had a couple other friends that live in the area that I've talked to, and they're fine. But they'll just, and they're out. Actually looking for people to help. That's kind of how the things roll when that goes down. If you're fine, you go help somebody else. So we'll make it through, and they'll make it through. But anyway, we're back to another. It's crazy. We're here. Tomorrow's October 1st, and we're Breeders' Cup prepping already.
Oh yeah.
Time waits for no one. Somebody's saying that, but it just keeps rolling along. And it's getting ready. Well, I'm coming out of my fog my COVID fog, which nobody told me about that part of it. So I'm pretty much back. My wife kept going, "You're still foggy. You're still foggy." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's right. She'd ask me like these questions. I'm like, "I don't know." She goes, "Well, you're fog. You still got the fog." So anyway, that was a shock to me. You had warned me about the fog, but I didn't believe it. You just kind of forgetful stuff. But anyway, we're back. I didn't forget this weekend. And as a matter of fact, actually going out to Santa Anita, which I haven't really been out to Santa Anita for a couple of years. Just been busy and in and out, but a friend of mine asked me to go, and I said, "Yeah, let's go." And remembered it was opening weekend and all the good steaks. So, and the weather is, like Nate said, it's been hot, unseasonably hot here. It's like it's in the 90s, But I think starting today and over the weekend, it'll be down into the 80s and the typical good fall date, fall weather here. So anyway, tell me what else we got going on. You know, you look at these at the races around, and we talk about it every year. These California, Midwest, New York, they really turn into regional contests. Not a whole lot of travel going on. There's no need to travel for some of these races. And we always, you know, keep your eye on some horses. What you see and what I've noticed a lot, and you know, as I, you know, kind of have Breeders' Cup in mind as I watch these races, a lot of these horses are already in. They know they're already in. They're in these races because they're there, but they don't have to win. And sometimes you'll see these horses run third or fourth, and the price goes way up come Breeders' Cup day. And so think of that. And then there's other horses that, you know, that are trying to do good here and need the points or need to impress the judges, so to speak, to get into the races. And they're trying their eyeballs out and trying to run great. And maybe they have some trouble. Maybe they have a little things go wrong. So, you know, keep your eye on these. Think about what's going on in the minds of the connections when they're in these races. Like I said, some of them are here to get a race, and some of them are here, they have to win these races. So these are almost, think of them as those kind of little separate puzzles before next week. They're not the Breeders' Cup, they're the prep. So different things going on in different camps, you know, and use that as we go forward to the Breeders' Cup. But I can't believe we're here, so I'm kind of getting my little schedule ready for the next month or two. And geez, October, what is it, November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, whatever. It's here, baby. So
yeah,
let's roll. It's great. I mean, this is a fun time of year for us racing people.
It is amazing that, you know, you go from the Saratoga and you're immersed in the summer, and then, you know, it seems so far away. And it's amazing. The whole calendar of racing is pretty remarkable. And the way, and I haven't really thought about it in terms of tridents or quadrants or whatever, but, you know, between the winter and the Triple Crown Trail, then the Triple Crown season, then the summer season, and the fall. I mean, I guess there's your four racing seasons, essentially. And you know, then there's that period after Breeders' Cup. Some people absolutely pull up and don't, you know, don't play at all after Breeders' Cup until, you know, January, when they consider, you know, the start of the, you know, the lead up at Gulfstream in New York and Fairgrounds and Oaklawn, etc. So it's amazing how it just sort of carries you forward. I mean, I don't want to call it the hamster wheel. I always say the hamster wheel, you know, with a tongue in cheek, but it does just pull you along. I mean, the fact that I got in the car after, not even after Labor Day, on Labor Day, and ended up running that string for 3 weeks that ended with Philadelphia, is pretty funny. I sort of, this week, it kind of, as the dust was settling, Rick, I realized, my God, I was at, you know, seven different places in these 3 weeks.
And that makes it go faster. But see, that's our game. It never stops. Mm. And, you know, it's good. It's, you know, as good as bad. I mean, it would be nice to just take, like I said, the month of December off. Stop. Give us everybody a chance to take a break. Well, you never stop. And so that's what, you know, you just, your mind is always constantly going from quadrant to quadrant, so to speak.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, like you said, we're in the next one. We're Breeders' Cupping. And from now on, you'll be watching every race for the next couple weeks anyway, thinking Breeders' Cup, and then it will be Breeders' Cup. So,
yep.
Kind of cool. I mean, it's, you know, that's why we're in it. No rest for the weary, not in racing.
No. Gotta get tied on.
But I hear, if, what do you want to do? You want to do a little Santa?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So, you really haven't, last couple you know, last couple of years, haven't spent a ton of time looking local here just because I haven't. I've been on the road and been other places, but so it's kind of breaking this stuff out here. I remember when we used to do this, we used to run the first Saturday. I think they'd have the five grade ones and then the grade unzip me is the last, and they've spread them out a little bit, but that doesn't matter. They're running, I think, 15 or 16 races the first couple weekends, which you have to. And this meet used to be four and 3 weeks out, and now they're 5 and 4. So you can run them in the first 2 weekends. We used to have to run most of them on the first weekend to get that 4 weeks. And I think we ran the sprint 3 weeks out. But anyway, that's a pass. So the first one on Saturday is the John Henry Turf Championship, and that's going to Mount a Quarter. This race is, over the years lately, has not been that productive as far as moving forward into the Breeders' Cup. And I've noticed, you know, to have six horses in here, and I'm six in the mile, leads me to believe that, you know, if there's some owners and trainers looking for wintertime places to send their turf horses, it might be California.
It's interesting.
It's really, really good turf course. I mean, it's great, and the weather's good. And if you want to run some turf racing, there's plenty of it. And, you know, just looking at this, you know, maybe they're just, you know, after, you know, going a whole year, some of them are taking a break. But this just leads me to believe that, hey, you know what, there's some spots to maybe look at for some Midwest and East Coast trainers to go that way. Anyway, so this is the guys going a mile and a quarter on the turf, and I noticed going through these races, it's kind of like the Phillies was about 5 years ago. It looks like it's the same group that just keeps, you know, kind of taking care of beating each other. You have the different Gold Phoenix has won one, Beyond Brilliant, Breakpoint, Haywood Beach, Acclimate. They've all kind of won their share. And whose turn is it this time? And so I landed on Leonard Powell's horse, Dicey Mochara. And came running last time. Johnny V had a beautiful ride. He waited on the fence, came through, and it doesn't show it in the running lines, but this horse actually had the lead at the 16th pole for a while, and then just come on and just got nailed late. So doesn't appear there. The price is 3-1. I don't know, it'll drift up a little bit. There's not a whole lot of value that I see in here. Master of Foxhounds, he's got a nice move. He's up towards the front. He has that nice middle move, which you need in these distance races. He hasn't won in a while, in 20 months. Like, so it gives me a little hesitation. But he's going to be up and close and maybe control the pace. But I landed on Dicey Mochara there for a little 3-4-1 action. The next one, the City of Hope. Once again, same for the milers. Hong Kong Harry wins one, and Iridio wins one, Beyond Brilliant wins one, Count Again wins one. Tough to really see a leader in the division. Beyond Brilliant looks like the pace play here. It's the only real, it's tough when he gets out there on the lead. He's 6-5, so, you know, nothing, not really exposing a whole lot here. But Kathleen Peak on the rail with Phil D'Amato, who has a ton of rail horses in here in these turf races, got stuck behind a couple of races here with a pace. Last time they went 8 and change. That horse, Goliard, is running, I think, tomorrow. Was flying out there. So you can kind of throw those two races out. This horse is closer to the pace normally, unless there's some wacky pace out there and he actually still came running. So, you know, is it 3-1? I'm searching for something, Prince Obama maybe in there at a price, but not much price in these two races. I went 3-1-5. Then we'll move on to the sprint championship. I don't know if you looked at this race. I tried to turn Brad off because he does such a good job of analyzing his race. I don't want to hear it and have it get back in my mind, and then I say the exact same thing, at least knowingly. But he got Forbidden Kingdom, and you know, I'm trying to think back 3-year-olds in this race in the past. I didn't look it up, but historically, I don't think they run too many. I don't think they won too many. Now, when we get to the Breeders' Cup, the 3-year-olds have done just fine. But anyway, so this horse comes back off of an April effort in the San Diego Derby, which, check it out, he was even money favorite, and probably rightfully so, because Taba at that time had just broken his maiden going short. So you had that, and then you had Forbidden Kingdom, who had just come off this, you know, this huge run in the San Felipe. So dropping back to 6 furlongs, I don't know. You know, those ones going long sometimes don't translate going short. You know, when you're really trying to step on the gas, he definitely does have some gas. Obviously, you went nine and change in the San Vicente. 6 furlongs is a little different game. I mean, CZ Rocket, I don't know. He's won at Santa Anita. He loves the distance. He had a little clunker last time. He had some trouble getting out of the gate, but I mean, he's 7-2. If he gets 7-2 on him, I think he's much the best in here. I mean, it's obviously between those two, but I take CZ Rocket anywhere near 7-2. 1-2-6 in here. A couple of those speed balls on the outside. I'm not sure. You know, they did it in the first condition. I mean, I don't know what was going on down there at Del Mar, but some super fast times for horses breaking out. They just broke their maiden. Toto Fino goes 9 flat and Kid Corleone goes 8-2. So, I mean, there's some speed there, obviously. And I don't know. CZ Rocket, I think, can sit behind him and run him down. I mean, he's 8 years old, but it looks like he's still got some gas. What'd you see in there?
One thing I saw was that I didn't want Forbidden Kingdom at that price. I mean, I said that to Brad. Not that he wasn't effective when he won the San Vicente, and he broke his maiden at Del Mar going 5.5, but I
totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, this just doesn't feel like. And actually, Richard, you know, it's funny. As much as Richard gets bet, and given his horses, and he, you know, did slip in that 1-12 flat buyer workout bullet, only 6 at the distance, but a 1-12 that seems like an aggressive move. And there's also a 46 flat going back to Del Mar, and I'm anxious to see what Andy Harrington has to say. Anyway, I just didn't think that, not that John got it wrong at all, but you know who I, Hammer, we don't have a ton of time, but tell us more about Amador Sanchez.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have much?
The man.
Yeah,
I do not know. Next week, like I said, I haven't followed out here that much. I saw his name here and there.
Yeah.
But he wins races.
He wins. He wins.
And so I'll find out a little bit more about him when we can.
All right.
I noticed the same thing. I said, good. That's good to get some, you know, some fresh horses and fresh people in too. So here we go down the hill. Eddie Day. I'm glad, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm so happy to have this hill back, at least for some of them. So we'll go back to our hill training and, you know, here, Goliad, the 3-horse, that's the horse that was giving him all those fractions in those longer races to go back, and he's running 8 and change and he won one of them going in the allowance race, and he did the same thing in the Del Mar Mile. I'm telling you, he was up by 10 at one point and actually looked pretty good. They smoked him. So that's the type of horse we look at in a race like this. Gregorian Chant, another Phil D'Amato horse coming off the wicker going a mile, has the look. Here's one over the course, but the ultimate down the hill course with a horse that's got a nice number by him, 8-1, is Tango, Tango for Jack Sisterson, coming off this 1 3/8, you know, that's good, 1 1/8, whatever. Shows a little, you know, a little bit that he likes to be involved in the race. And if we go back to Gulfstream, he's gone. He's sprinted before. If you want to call 7.5 a sprint, He's had her showed enough speed to get up. So this is the type of horse that will get dismissed in the wagering, and it'll be one of those ones at about the eighth pole and then about the 16th. Who's that? What horse is that? And you look down to your program, and by the time you pick her head up, this horse is blown by. So keep your eye on a horse like Tango, Tango, Tango in here. These are the kind of horses that love this down the hill type thing. So I included the three, four, nine in here, but love these down the hills. And then we get to the awesome again. A lot of the same horses running against each other. We got Royal Ships and Country Grammar and Express Train and Tripoli and, no invaders here to it's only 300. It's still a grade one and it's still a winner and you're in. You know, thought maybe somebody would have, shipped one out and said, hey, you know what? Let's go for the, winning your end deal, but no such luck. It's between the Royal Ships of the world and the Express Trains. When you think they're not going to win, that's when they win. So whenever you zig, you got to zag. I'm going to go with the Sheriffs here in this one. Express Train loves the distance, loves Santa Anita, probably sitting on a good one. I just settled on him. Country Grammar is going to be there, obviously. Obviously you got to throw out the last one. Anytime you run second by 19, got to go, something's going on there. So put a line through that race. Country Grammar obviously has beaten some real good horses internationally. But I'm going to give it a nod to Express Train here and Royal Ship and, maybe Slow Down Andy as the long shot in here. But that's how I came up with that. The Unzip Me, which, great name, right? I gotta love that. I gave the name to the race. Obviously, Unzip Me was not a name that I came up with. Unzip Me was a horse Marty Jones trained and loved it downhill. So, and the Unzip Me became the sixth stake on this day. Traditionally, I ran it as the last race. It was always a big hit like it is today. So, once again, we're looking for some of those horses that show a little speed going long or show some tendency to maybe look like they can close late. Island of Love. One of the Phil D'Amato horses has a little bit of that going, showed some speed in the China Doll, actually won the Senorita being up close. They tried along in the grade one, mile and eighth. Obviously that's not it. They're shortening her back up. So Island of Love, fits the bill on that as far as the type of horse we like to see. You mentioned Condi Swingle, the other Phil D'Amato. He's fine. He's won two for two at the distance. And then the rail horse, Brandon's my lawyer. From the George Papa Perdomo barn, has won at the distance, stretching back out a little bit, but has won at the distance. So I come up with with numbers that the 9.58 in here real quick at for the first day there at Santa Anita, and I'm happy to go. I'm all handicapped up there, and I'm ready for some of the other races across the country as well. Interesting, you do the Churchill real quick. There's a mile and a mile in an eighth race. I just find that when they're sitting next to each other, it's just kind of odd. But I'm looking for a little upset in that first race. Speaker's Corner is going to be a real short price. I looked at the outside horse a little bit, Twilight mm-hmm. Blue.
Twilight Blue.
Right?
Yep.
And you got some nice consistent numbers, and it's going to be a price. Joe Sharp, Brian Hernandez. I mean, what a good guy this is. Brian is just a person. He's a good kid, and I say kid. But he rides great at Churchill and can never be overlooked. And I think he's been on and off this horse. He's done very well every time he's riding him. This horse has never been out of the money at Churchill, blah, 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 that type of stuff. But 10 to 1 is a nice price. And if, the outside post doesn't bother me at this distance, the setup, going the long run down the backside. So I don't know, Speaker's Corner, he's kind of thrown in three races in a row where I weren't his best. I was running against some decent horses, but you know what? At even money, I'll take a shot and try to beat him, and Folsom might be the other one to look at, but I have Twilight Blue a little bit of a look in here.
No doubt.
Right?
Yep, we're all over him. We got everybody. Who else?
Really?
There's plenty. Not everybody, but there's...
Sorry,
Joe. No, there's interest. There's real interest.
And then in New York, you know, you got a couple of the smaller fields. And what was that? Now, I wasn't sure about the weather, but now you're giving me the weather.
Yeah, it's not great.
I was looking at the turf sprint, and I just got to throw in this stupid thing. So, yes and yes. So, you know what that reminded me of? Yes and yes. Karnak. So you remember Karnak?
Of course.
So those of you who don't know, Karnak was a character that Johnny Carson created, and Johnny Carson obviously was the king of late night, and it was this where he would come out with this, you know, doo 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 doo, and he would have these cards, and he would give an answer, and then he would tell you the question later. So he would say like yes. And yes. And so here was my question. And here's my questions. Is the Commanders the worst name in sports? And if you beat the Commanders, should it really count as a victory? So yes and yes. But I don't know why that came to me.
That's funny. That is funny.
But right. Yep. I mean, anyone who, you know, go back and watch some repeats of the Johnny Carson stuff. And when Karnak, I mean, this was a guy that you never knew it was coming. So if you were up and, you know, once a month, Karnak would come on. And I remember you going, all right. And he'd do like five of these. And they were, you know,
they were always funny.
So anyway, yes and yes. Good enough for me for the play of the week.
That's who I like.
So. But anyway, it's good to. I'm getting energized for the Breeders' Cup, and like I said, I've just changed my flight to come out a couple of days early. So, I mean, and that's right around the corner. So, you know, get ready. Start making notes, though. That's, you know, start putting checks by horses and crossing off horses and horses that you think are going to be over bet, and you know, because that process, that Breeders' Cup week process, any way you can shorten it handicap wise.
No doubt. Hammer, I appreciate it. Good luck. Enjoy tomorrow. Look forward to hearing about the day.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys, and see you at the races.
There we go. Look for Hammer tomorrow at Santa Anita, and we'll look for Papo right now. Papo, I just retweeted three looks, and we're in harmony. I'm anxious here to see what Papo's got to say as well, because the races that he put up, I'm all over. So this should be good, and maybe we're all on the same page. We'll close out what's been a fast and furious morning. And Papo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
You know, I just was telling everybody here that as I was dialing you, the way the looks came up. I'm very pleased, actually. Let's dive in. Lots of opportunity this weekend. Form to Win and Am Wager to give you a hand.
Yeah, sure. I'll look at Aqueduct first, and we'll see how the weather holds out. But in that Miss Grillo 8.5 furlongs on the turf, didn't make any adjustments for distance because they're all young horses and limited starts. But I like the Luring Angel on the stretch out. Long shot, the number 5 horse, I'm Just Kidding. And then, of course, Chad Brown's horse, Free Look. Absolutely Fit in the Belmont Turf Sprint, 6 furlongs on the turf. Yes and Yes was the top-rated horse on Form to Win, followed by Arzak. And then Voodoo Zip. And then the Champagne, limited starts once again. So kind of doing a projection on how they're going to run at, like, Gulfport, Verifying, and Top Recruit. All out there at Aqueduct. And then at Churchill and that ACK, you know, Speaker's Corner Absolutely Fit was the top ranked horse, but it had 2 long shots underneath, 3 Technique, the 5 horse at 12-1, and then the 4 horse was interesting, Surely Furious at 20-1, coming off some races on the synthetic. But I do believe ran 3rd at Churchill. You have to go a while back in the PPs, but Absolutely Fits on Form to Win for a price. Lucas Classic, nothing interesting there other than Happy Saver, no matter how I ran it, was the top horse, followed by Art Collector, then Hot Rod Charlie. And then out west, Steve, in that Santa Anita Sprint Championship, I didn't have any data sets for Forbidden Kingdom. I mean, he had one start at 7, but I was looking at races between 6 and 6.5. So it liked Kid Corleone, the number 3 horse, Howbeit, and then the 7 horse, Toto Fino, at 4-1. And the Eddie D, 6.5 furlongs on the downhill turf course. It liked the 5 horse, Colfard, the 4 horse, Gregorian Chant, and the 2 horse, Air Force Red. Awesome Again, Royal Ship, the 2 horse Absolutely Fit, along with Country Grammar. Some prices underneath, Slow Down Andy and Tripoli Fit. And then in the Unzip Me, it liked the 3 horse Lexington Humor at a price, 12-1, followed by the 1 horse Brandon's My Lawyer at 8-1, and then Connie Swingle, the 5 horse at 3-1.
Connie Swingle, you know, 3-1 favorite, and makes plenty of sense, and that sort of led me to Countess Rosina. A couple of things that we can talk about. I got about 3-4 minutes, and so far we've put up the Miss Grillo, the Turf Sprint, and the Champagne, but as soon as Papo puts them up on the M Wager account, I'll retweet them so you can see the graphic, you can see the snapshot. There's a couple of things to note, obviously, for people that are using Form to Win for the first time. The ease with which you can make adjustments and tinker is notable, and that'll come into play tomorrow depending on how much weather, and whether it's at Laurel or whether it's at Aqueduct. If we don't get as much rain, you can keep it on firm. If we do get rain and you then want to adjust and see if yielding and if that does anything. Same thing is true, obviously, on the main track. I mean, it might be good, might be sloppy, might be fast. So, you know, you just make the slight adjustments, see what it does to the rankings. It's a speed algorithm. And so all of those influence, all those inputs, and you know, you can read all of Papo's or listen to Papo's tutorials on, you know, making these adjustments. And it doesn't take much trial and error to become adept at it. Then, when we look at the downhill races, Papo, here's a place where Form to Win is really helpful, because, yes, 6.5 is the stated distance. However, as we discussed earlier with Nate Newby and referenced, you know, Hammer all the time, this is a place where you do want to not have a short range in terms of distance capability. You want the longer range. You want to maybe set the base at 6 or 6.5 and go up to 7.5 or a mile. And those are the horses you'll see right away. There's a big difference here about horses stretching from 5 and 5.5 to try the hill, and horses that are cutting back, as we've tried to explain. And Form to Win can really pinpoint and spotlight the horses that are taking advantage of the cutback.
Yes, Steve, I agree. I use, for the downhill races at Santa Anita, I set my distances between 6.5 and then a mile.
Nice.
6.5 to 8 furlongs to capture those horses on the cutback.
Well, and you know, one thing that I was thrilled when I did it as well to see Yes and Yes shake out on top in the Turf Sprint, as well as Alluring Angel, and Georgie Spirit, who I thought that other runner of Abro's was okay. So they're prominent. I'm not just acquiescing to be your best, personally. So, and sometimes, you know, when you go in with an opinion based on what you see first in the PPs, then you start to tinker with Form to Win, and a lot of times all it does is reinforce your opinion. So it helps on that front. And the same thing is true in the Champagne, where I didn't think Verifying Top Recruit, who I like at 5 because of the price. Top Recruit is third in the snapshot, Gulfport on top and Verifying between them, but it more or less did kind of verify a view of the race. So utilize Form to Win, it, particularly for those of you on AmWager, it's free with it, and just such a valuable and quick, you know, especially if you're, you know, going to look at races someplace where you didn't you know, really dive in. Looking for quick and easy and accurate assessment of the horses in whatever race. It doesn't have to be graded stakes. Papo, good luck this weekend. Should be a fun few days.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Papo Morales, everybody, Amwager. And the Form to Win. Follow both on Twitter. And this was a fast and furious morning. Thanks to Casey. And again, wishing the best for everybody in and around, particularly Fort Myers, and they've been in the path and have been affected by the storm. And we'll check on a few people this weekend, particularly on Sanibel. Thanks to Marty McGee and Callie Francoise and Brad Free and Scott Shapiro, James Scully, Dave Grenick, Hammer, Nick Tamaro, Nate Newby, and Papo Morales. Good luck this weekend, everybody. I got to hightail it out for a 1 o'clock in Bennington haircut, but I'm going to write up a bunch of races for tomorrow. Looking forward to it, actually. Some good opportunities. Hope they're good opportunities for you, and you make the most of them. Talk to you Monday morning as we start to really get serious toward Breeders' Cup 2022. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve 200. Visit Naira.